Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons this evening will be taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited still, because tonight we will continue our study in the book of Proverbs. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, Bible apps, or regular Bibles if you have, and your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, if you will, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you'd like. The host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I'm using. So I appreciate and thank you for them so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ or God? Jesus said through his half-brother, James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth it not. But you have to ask correctly. The promise is that you will receive wisdom if you ask God correctly. Jesus said again, and that was taken from James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Jesus said again, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. That's taken from Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 13. The promise is that Jesus is going to come quickly. My brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean in 100 years or in 10 years. That means as he comes. And of course, we know that he has been returning for mankind for at least 2,000 years. So the thing is that you're not going to be left lacking. He will come quickly and take you away from ails you, and accordingly, he will give you rewards for the work you do during the interim. That is what you should remember. That's the promise. And again, Jesus says, blessed is that servant whom, when his master returns, he shall so find him doing. That's taken from Luke chapter 12, verse 33. So the promise is that when Jesus returns for you, you're going to be blessed if you're doing what Jesus requires of you. So the question for this evening and this hour is, again, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ? Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, before we get started, listen, we know and I need to remind you that the Bible is written in code, meaning it's written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we are here this evening, one with another, sharing so we can learn together. Now let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 4. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. And as I read the verse to you, this is what I want you to keep in mind as the instruction for this evening, for this particular instruction. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. My precious brothers and sisters, that's what I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. And I see we're upon the first break. Let's take the first break, then we'll come back and finish the instruction. Okay, I see that the break has not started, so we will break when the host cuts in. So we're going to look at this instruction. The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. And this is what Solomon told Israel in Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. That is so significant to know, my brothers and sisters, that God, through Jesus Christ, he has created all things. And this is what King David said in Psalms 24, to give impetus to what the instruction just read. This is what King David told Israel in Psalms 24, verse 1 through 5, about this. The earth is the Lord's, King David says, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands shall ascend and stand. He that hath a pure heart. He who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So, my brothers and sisters, that gives us an understanding, the extra benefit we receive from God who creates all things. And now we're going to look at the compliment. We're going to turn to John chapter 1. And this here is the spiritual compliment to what we just read, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And this substantiates that God, through Jesus Christ, created all things for his pleasure. In the beginning was the Word, John chapter 1, verse 1 says. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. So that substantiates it and tells us that all things are made by God, good, bad, or indifferent. And we know that other places in the Bible, it gives more examples of that fact that the Lord had made all things for himself. So now let's go. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God created all humanity, all spirituality, and all objects inanimate. And we don't know what God created. We don't know all of what God creates. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a microscopic world out there that we cannot even see except with microscopes. And there's yet who knows what else exists. And so that is the omnipotence and the omniscience of God. The point is that God has created all things for his purpose. That's what I want you to get out of this instruction. Now, turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 16 again. We're going to look at another instruction from Proverbs chapter 16. This time we're going to be looking at verse 6. And listen to what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says. And as I read the text to you, listen. This is what I want you to get or keep in mind as I read that verse. By mercy and truth, inequity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, man departs from evil. That is such a statement of wisdom, of profound wisdom, that we're going to look at that closely. And this is what Solomon said to Israel. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. And it says, by mercy and truth, inequity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, man departs from evil. And that is so significant. And let's look at Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7 and 8. And this is going to give us an understanding of that mercy and truth that is so significant, I think. It is chapter 54 of Isaiah, verse 7 and 8. And listen to what Isaiah says, which gives me so much solace and peace of mind because of mercy and truth, purging inequity. This is what the prophet, God said through the prophet, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord God, thy Redeemer. My brothers and sisters, that is telling me by my interpretation that during this period of time that I'm going through these changes, God is going to resolve what I have done that has disappointed him through disobedience and purge me. And I am going to receive the end result, which would be the salvation that he sent his son to die for. That is a great reliever to know, my brothers and sisters. Listen, I'm going to read it again. This is what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 7 and 8. This is what the prophet said about mercy and truth that's purging inequity. Listen, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord God, thy Redeemer. I am so pleased that this is an interpretation that is viable, that will give us some relief during this exercise that we are going through from cradle to grave in our disobedience toward God. Now we're going to go to Luke. We're going to look at what the New Testament complement has to say about this, comparing and agreeing. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 46 through 50. And look what the Virgin Mary said about this. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 50. And this is what Mary said concerning this. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done a great thing, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. My brothers and sisters, she prophesied this after she received word that she was going to bear the baby Jesus, that God is merciful, more especially to those who fear him. That is so significant to know, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives now, that we must have God, who is our mercy, and Jesus, who is our truth, and we must obey. Fear the Lord in order to receive the benefits. My brothers and sisters, excuse me, we have given a mandate that if we receive God's mercy and we receive God's truth, which is his son, Jesus Christ, that our inequity, which Jesus paid for on the cross, will be satisfactory for getting us into heaven. And with the fear of the Lord, it will assist us in demonstrating that staying away from disobedience. Now let's go to the next instruction. Go back with me to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to take another instruction from Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 7. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. And listen, my brothers and sisters, as I read this verse, what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction. This is the focal point of the verse understanding. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. My brothers and sisters, do you know how critical that is? When the ways of a man pleases the Lord, that means what we do, if we are obedient to pleasing the Lord, certain things that we do, that he will make even our enemies to be at peace with us, is tremendous to understand. And let's listen to what Moses taught Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, verse 5, and verse 7, or verse 1 and verse 7 through 11 concerning this. This is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. Listen, because this here is going to give us some insight on how to apply our lives this side of eternity in order to avoid unnecessary assaults by either Satan or the evils of man. Listen to what Moses told Israel in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Doesn't that sound like when a man pleases God in his ways, he will make his enemies to be at peace with him? And listen to the significance. This is more that Moses rehearsed to Israel. Listen, verse 7 through 11. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee. I see that we've reached the second break for tonight. Let's take that break, and then we'll come back and finish the lesson. It does not look like...
I want to explain to you the difference between iniquity and transgression. And they're both sin, but you need to know that there is a difference. And I want you to understand, hopefully you write this down. This is very important to understand because it'll help you understand some things about how we miss the mark. Iniquity is inward motivation. It is the inward motivation that will drive us towards sin. Transgression is the outward movement. Iniquity, the inward motivation. Again, I'm trying to use motivation and movement, words that begin with the same letter to help us remember. Inward motivation, transgression is the outward movement. The word transgress, we don't use it much in English. Our English word that would be closest to it would be trespass. The word transgress means to step over a boundary. Trespass, step over a boundary, okay? So it's the inward motivation, iniquity, transgression, outward movement. Let me give you some more analogies. Iniquity is the heart. Transgression is the hand. Another analogy, iniquity is the attitude. It's on the inside. Transgression is the action. It's on the outside. I was talking to one of my sons just last week about this message, and I was explaining this iniquity and transgression, and my son actually said, oh, this would be like lust and adultery. And I said, that's exactly right. That is exactly the analogy that I want you to understand the truth. Lust is in the heart. And adultery then is the transgression of that. Now listen to me. Again, they're both sin. Because you have to understand that they're both sin because the Pharisees had begun to promote an ideology that as long as you didn't transgress, it wasn't sin. And they'd come up with all these little teachings about it, actually. That, in essence, like when it comes to lust, it was okay to window shop. That's kind of what the Pharisees were promoting. Jesus shows up on the scene and says, nope, it's not okay. And you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, now you know the law says not to transgress, not to commit adultery. But I say to you that if you lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. If it's in your heart, you've already transgressed God's ways. And then he says, you know, you've heard not to murder. Don't transgress by murder. But I tell you, if you hate your brother, you've already murdered him. So he's trying to let them know, listen, iniquity is sin also. It's transgressing God's ways. I told you what the word transgression means. Let me tell you what the word iniquity means. And this is a very easy way to remember iniquity. Literally, from the Hebrew, this would be the best translation of it. Iniquity is the same as inequity. Inequity. Iniquity, inequity. It is when we are not equitable, equal with God's holiness. Anything that does not equal God's holiness is iniquity or inequitable. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let me show you again. I absolutely love the Bible. You know I do. I know you love the Bible. The Bible's perfect. It is perfect. And I'm going to show you a verse that shows it's perfect. Remember, iniquity is on the inside. It's inward. Transgression is outward. So in Isaiah 53, this messianic chapter, let me just show you. Watch how perfect the Bible is. Iniquity, inward. Transgression, outward. Watch this verse, Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded, talking about Jesus, wounded, that's outwardly, for our transgressions. He was bruised, that's on the inside, for our iniquities. Isn't that good? See, a bruise is inward bleeding. It's perfect. Jesus was the perfect atonement, the perfect sacrifice. Okay.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with instruction number 62. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And we already read where Solomon dictated that to Israel, and we are reading now where Moses is rehearsing it in Deuteronomy, even before Solomon dictated it. Moses rehearsed it to Israel. And we were reading verse 7 through 11 in Deuteronomy 28, where it tells us what happens, what he will do to the enemies if we adhere to his commandments. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and shall flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land, whither the Lord thy God give thee. The Lord shall establish thee as a holy people unto himself, as he swore unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. All the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land whither the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. So we can see Moses gives more of an explanation of what God will do for you if you please him. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1, again, verse 67 through 74. And this is where Zechariah is prophesying about his son, John the Baptist. And this is what he says concerning pleasing the Lord. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been seen, or which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the band, or from the hand of all those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? All of that is so significant. Not only did it take in the previous question of our instruction of by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord man departs from evil, it also explains to us that if you please the Lord God Almighty, he will make even your enemies be at peace with you. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the way. Follow Jesus. Deny yourself and pick up your cross, and you will receive eternal life. That is the promise. That is the commandment that Jesus gave us to substantiate our pleasing God and be delivered from our enemies. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 16. We're going to take another instruction from Proverbs chapter 16. This time we're going to look at verse 9. And what I want you to do as I read the text, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. This is what I want to talk about, or I want you to think about as I read this verse to you. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his step. That is so significant, and we're going to get with Jeremiah first to expound a little upon it. What again, this is what Proverbs 16 verse 9 says. This is what Moses, or King Solomon said. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah, and we're going to look at Jeremiah, and listen to what Jeremiah chapter 10 says about this. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 and 24, listen, this is what Jeremiah prophesied. This is what God said through the prophet. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. And again, what Jeremiah is saying, he realizes that he could do nothing without the Lord, and that the Lord is the one that orders him and causes him to do what he is doing, and that man cannot do anything. He can only do physical things. But spiritual things without God is not. In fact, I'll tell you, he can't even do physical things without God. God controls all of us and all things about us. Now let's go to Mark, and we're going to get a further demonstration in the book of Mark of how this is so significant. In the book of Mark, we're going to see in Mark chapter 7, we're going to see how Jesus identified this. This is so significant. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. This is what Jesus said about this. Jesus says, for from within, out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders, thefts, covetousness and wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. So we can see that it's on the inside of the man, from his heart, is where these things come from. That's what man controls, if you will, or is about. But God is the one that orders his steps. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And I see we're at our next break. Let's take our break. and then we'll come back and finish the instruction.
Isn't it funny when you have a work life and you have a home life and you're torn between the two? And now let me explain to you why a man is torn between the two. He's torn between the two because men get their self-esteem from what they do, not from who they love. Women inherently get their self-esteem from who they love. They define themselves as being a mother or a wife or I'm married, and they love all kinds of stuff that marks who loves them. I never will forget, I couldn't figure out why when I gave my wife roses, I didn't get the reaction that they got on TV. Because when they get on TV, the girls start crying, and, you know, she comes home and hugs the guy and throws the arms around him, and they fall over in the floor, and the door closes. And I didn't figure out how I could, because, you see, what it happened was, you know, I wanted to, you know, like, you know. And so I called my sister, and I said, you know, I give her roses, it doesn't work. And my sister said, it's because you're not giving them to her in front of anybody. She said, it is not the roses. It's the oogling of all the women in the office when they bring you roses. And all the girls are saying, what? Girl, shut your mouth. Get out of here. No, he didn't. So whereas women, you do these things and you get this reaction because you get your self-esteem from who loves you. That's the big high. Guys normally don't sit around talking about, she sent me this card, man. You want to read my card, dude? I kept the card, man. I got the card right here. It is balled up in my pocket, man. We don't even have space to keep all that stuff. We don't do that. But what we will do is whip out a business card in a minute. And we will tell you what we do for a living because we get the props by what we do. J. Iris is a ruler. His self-esteem comes from his job. But his heart is still in his house.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are looking at a man's heart deviseth his way. But the Lord directs his step. And we know what Solomon said about it in Proverbs 16, verse 9. We know what Jeremiah talked about, the heart, in the same sense, giving more clarification than what even Solomon told in his verse. And we know, comparing and agreeing, Jesus broke it down for us even further, telling us that man's devising is wicked and evil. And man and God is the one that directs his steps well. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will not defile you if you let his word guide you. But if you guide yourself without God, you will be defiled. Simple as that, my brothers and sisters. You have to be led by the Spirit. You can't lead the Spirit. And that's the way that it occurred because of the fall of man in the garden. Sin precludes us from being able to direct our own steps. It was proven that we could not do it, and we sinned because of it, and now it's a default. So that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Now let's go back again to Proverbs chapter 16, another verse, verse 18 out of chapter 16. And this is what we're going to be looking at. I want you to keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the text to you. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So that's telling us that pride is going to destroy us, We know that the Bible teaches us that God resisteth the proud and giveth more grace to the meek and humble and lowly of spirit. And we also understand that we are saved by grace. So pride is contrary to grace. And this is what Solomon is telling us, that pride goeth before destruction, and we got to avoid it. And a haughty spirit, that's prideful, that's egotistical, that's narcissistic, it goes before the fall. And this is what Solomon said in the verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 16. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And listen to what Obadiah, the minor prophet, had to say about this in chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 of his prophecy. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Listen to what he said. He said, "Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thy heart has deceived thee. Thou that dwelleth in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou shalt exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest above the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." So Obadiah is prophesying against Edom in Israel. And this is telling us that pride, because of their pride, they have been brought down. And I mentioned to you, because man sinned in the garden, he was brought down, and he cannot control himself or save himself. It has to be through Jesus Christ. And now we're going to go to our compliments. We're going to go to 1 John. Turn to 1 John, and we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. And listen, this is how the New Testament compares and agrees and complements what we are talking about as far as pride is concerned. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Listen to what he says. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of God is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abideth forever." That tells us that the pride of life is not going to do anything for us. But as Solomon dictated in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, vanity, it's vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Pride is vanity. So that means it vexes the spirit. Solomon says it's an evil disease, and that is something that we should keep in mind, my brothers and sisters, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that pride is vanity, and vanity is vexation of the spirit, says King Solomon, and an evil disease bent on destroying the body and soul. And that is why it is so critical to know this, is because God is interested in saving what is made in his image and likeness. The flesh was not made in his image and likeness. And the flesh he has committed back to the ground from whence it came. And so we should know that pride goes before destruction. In the same vein, if you are proud in the flesh, that means you are weak in the spirit, and it can cause both to be destroyed. That's what I want you to get out of this. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will. We're going to look at another verse or from chapter 16 of Proverbs. We've taken all of our instructions this evening from Proverbs chapter 16. Now we're going to look at verse 24 in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. And listen to, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. So Solomon is telling us that we should try and share without offending or without judging, without intimidating. This is what Solomon is telling us about our words. And this is where he says it in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Listen to what he says. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he even gets more definitive. Listen to what he says about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9 through 14. Solomon says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Listen, my brothers and sisters, for the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. And by these further, listen, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. I see we're at our last break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we will conclude this instruction.
Into a season right now. It ain't time for us to point out everybody else's fault. It's time for us to look in the mirror and say, am I usable? Am I flexible? Am I pliable? Am I moldable? Can God take my life, put me on the potter's wheel, and spin me until he makes me everything that I need to be for this next season in my life? Some of you have been spinning and you're wondering, what in the world? Why am I spinning? Why am I going in circles? But I'll tell you why you're going in circles. It's because God is making you another vessel. It's a new season and he's putting touches on your life that you didn't need in the last season, but you're going to need it in this season. So he just scoops you up, drops you on the wheel, starts bending you, making you uncomfortable, breaking you. You're trying to figure out. You're like, God, I did everything right, I thought. He said, no, it's not that you've done anything wrong. I'm just getting you ready for the next season. You asked me to use you, didn't you? Hallelujah. So God, we have to check ourselves, because once we are refined and once we are ready, God will begin to use us. Lamentations 3 and 40 says, let us examine our ways. Let us test them and let us return back to the Lord. Let us examine our ways. Let us test them. And if we're out of whack, let's return back to the Lord. Because it's only as we return back to the Lord that God, and we allow him to form us into what we need to be. Somebody saying, what's next for my life? What's next for your life is that you have to examine yourself and say, God, am I usable? God is looking for people who are holy. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men, to be holy, for without holiness, no one will see God. Holiness really means, it means that we live a consecrated life, that we aim to live a pure life. Make every effort, Hebrews 12 says. Make every effort to be consecrated. Make every effort to be pure. Make every effort to be sanctified in your heart and in your life. See, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the primary characteristic that lets us know that he is there is that you ought to want to be holy. that you ought to want to be different. When the Holy Spirit comes in, something in you says, I don't want to be who I was. I don't want to think like I used to think. I don't want to go where I used to go. I don't want to hang with everybody I used to hang with. When the Holy Spirit is in there, the evidence that he is in there is that you want to be different. It's that you want to be like God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're talking about pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9 through 14 is giving us a detailed understanding of why this is so. For again, it says in verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we are understanding that Solomon is telling us that we should find what is appropriate. We should edify. We should not denounce. We got to be very careful when we are admonishing, when we are, you know, exhorting. We have to do it with loving kindness, and we have to make sure that we are giving out the information that will provoke one another to better works and not to offend and cause one another to go away from the Lord. That is the key. And so now this is what Paul says, how we should do that. We're going to learn from the complement of the New Testament exactly how to accomplish this. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible complements or your Bible sources to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 through 26. Listen to what Timothy had to say. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now we're from past instructions of today. We know that man's heart devises his own way, but God directs his steps. So we must make sure that we handle our sharing the word of God by planting and watering with tender, loving care. And it's God who is going to direct that individual or add increase to that individual. We're not supposed to be too harsh or even harsh at all. We should not be bringing hell, fire, and brimstone especially if it's inappropriate. But you should know, if you're led by the Spirit, how to handle this. Now, this is what I want you to get from this instruction. It is that words do matter. James, in the book of James, it tells us that the tongue can be a fire of iniquity. And even Solomon says it can't tame the savage beast. So we have to make sure that we are very careful on how we share the word of God, because we want it to be receptive and not have it to be offensive. Okay, we're going to go now to the last instruction of the evening, and we're going to again go back to chapter 16. A lot of good instruction from chapter 16 of Proverbs, and we're going to look at verse 25. verse 25 of chapter 16. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, this is piggybacking on what we said earlier about a man's ways, that he deviseth, his heart deviseth his own way, but God directs his steps. And so this is telling us that that way could be error, it could be an error. And let us listen to what Solomon tells us, or tells Israel in verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My brothers and sisters, Jeremiah exploits this so well. I want us to go turn our Bible sources to Jeremiah chapter 17 and listen to what he says, because this is telling us exactly what Solomon is indicating. Chapter 17, verse 5, this is what Jeremiah says. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in his own heart and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Did you hear that? Now, verse 7 adds to that. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, who follows and is being instructed by the Lord God Almighty. And verse 9 continues, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. So we can see that the prophet is telling us that the heart of man, you think that you are doing right. If you're not being led by the Spirit, you're doing wrong. And listen to this, my brothers and sisters. We just read what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, when he identified what defiles a man. It is the inside of a man that defiles the man, not the outside. And what triggers that comes from within the heart. That is what's so significant. So we have to realize that that's the case. Now let's go to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to hear what Paul has instructed the Romans about this. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 21. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 21. And listen, Paul tells us that we cannot handle ourselves. Listen to what Paul says. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, do I do not. But what I hate, that do I. That means Paul is not in control of his steps, of his heart. He says more. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the Lord, unto the law, that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So what happened? The fall in the garden, and we inherited the fallout from the fall. Paul continues, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Remember, it's the inside, from out of the heart. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul makes certain that we understand that we at one time had will, power. But no longer, my brothers and sisters, it was lost in the garden. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that do I. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So that is telling us that we walk by the Spirit. That is the only way that we're going to please God. And other than that, we're going to be on our own. Okay? This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that our knowledge of good and evil causes us to falter because it has been cursed. Only the knowledge of everlasting life can break the curse. My brothers and sisters, that means that only God can order our steps. The knowledge of everlasting life is Jesus the Christ. That's the lesson for this evening. Now, before we break, I would like to say in behalf of the host and I, we would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement this evening. Good night.
For joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.